Princess Alestia, the Changeling Queen. Chapter 20, Sisters. Sisters function as safety nets in a chaotic world, simply by being there for each other. Carol Saline. Firm hoofsteps softly thudded against the carpeted floor as Lamy approached the two guards' ponies. It was not the two ponies that she was afraid of. After all, to her immense chagrin, she did have a full squad of changeling chevaliers escorting her during every walking and sleeping moments. But while she understood the precaution and felt secured by her increased escort, nobody liked being followed by 10 bodyguards for every minute of their life. The past few days have been tense. Every scrap of food and drink was being tested, as was the cutlery they were being served with. The changeling contingent had been taking their meals in their allocated chambers, and no longer did they venture out into the social events organized by Cadence and Blueblood. Lamia would have understood, in fact supported her mother, if she merely chose to limit herself to increasing security. The ponies needed to be shown that their carelessness had a cost, and the security measures were a bit extreme, but reasonable. However, not for the first time in recent days, Lamia was beginning to question her mother's judgments. In the negotiations, the younger queen had to hold her mother back several times from provoking Celestia too far. Her mother kept to the promise Celestia exacted from her regarding the treatment of the prisoners, but she had demanded reparations and disciplinary actions so gruesome that the spirit of the oath was all but nullified. Her mother was going too far. Despite Celestia's apparent patience, Lamia had seen the very slight strain in the Alicorn's face as her mother had pressed her demands. And while Celestia had shown almost no sign of wavering for her calm demeanor, Luna showed far less restraint, and on several occasions, Lamia had become worried that Nightmare Moon might make a second coming. The hostility Chrysalis was showing to the ponies didn't stop at the princesses. Prior to the assassination attempt, the changelings and ponies were coordinating their security efforts. Albeit it was in a limited fashion, as the chevaliers focused on the protection of the queen and her living quarters, while the ponies dealt with the base of security. Still, chevaliers and guards' ponies had worked together on several security matters. Lamia had been surprised when she noted a growing respect between the two guard units, and they could actually share tables in the mess hall. They did stay in their respective groups, but at least there was shared chatter, or chitter. Lamia and Shining Armor weren't sure what exactly had caused this, but they had observed that both armed forces shared a common trait of strong loyalty to their respective monarchs. Whatever the case, relations had been friendly enough that the two commanders had been considering organizing a friendly military parade competition between the two companies. Now, she couldn't even glance at Shining Armor without her mother dragging her off. The military parade competition, well, that was scrapped. None of the chevaliers dared to even mention the Royal Guard, unless to criticize them for something that they probably didn't do. Every changeling was on edge thanks to her mother's own paranoia, and it was beginning to wear them all down. Something had to be done about the situation before it got more unbearable than it already was. However, every problem solver knows that the only way to solve a problem was to get to the root of it. She had to talk to her younger sister who lay behind that metal-studded door behind the two guards' ponies. Her sister who had betrayed their hive and their mother. Lamia gritted her teeth, her fangs pinching her lower gums. She was glad that Cinder was safe. It was a joy that had overcome her initial anger at her sister for her betrayal. But that joy gave way in light of the revelation of the Equestria First terrorists. Now Lamia had hundreds of questions, and she could not so easily suppress the hurt and the anger that came within Sindra's betrayal. This talk was long overdue. So, without her mother knowing, Lamia had asked Celestia if she could speak to her sister. To her relief, the Alicorn had immediately granted her permission and told her the location of the room. However, the eagerness in Celestia's voice made it appear as if the Alicorn actually wanted Lamia to talk to her sister. The question then was, why would Celestia encourage this? The young changeling queen shook her head. Trying to get into that Alicorn's head was like attempting to navigate a maze without an end. Besides, Syndra came first. As she drew nearer to the two guards, Lamia noticed the two ponies warily tightening their grasps on their spears. Good. It appeared that Celestia's scolding had put the royal guard on edge.
I would like to speak to my sister,
said Lamia.
Privately.
The guards glanced at each other before nodding at the same time.
Her Highness Princess Celestia has granted you permission to visit your sister, but you must not bring your guards in with you,
said the senior guard. Lamia blinked at the stoic reply.
I consent to your terms as long as you allow my guards to check the room first,
said Lamia. The two guards nodded, so Lamia lifted her hoof to signal her chevaliers to stand by. The lead guard knocked on the door three times in quick succession. After a pause, Lamia heard two knocks from the other side of the door, and it swung open to reveal two more gold-clad guards' ponies. Warily, four of the chevaliers entered the room first, while Lamia and the rest remained outside. About a minute later, the chevaliers trotted out along with the two royal guards stationed inside of the room and told Lamia that the room was safe. With nothing stopping her from entering the door, Lamia took a deep breath to steel herself and slowly limped in. Once inside, Lamia blinked as she was met with a rather dimly lit room. The only light came from the open door behind her and the gaps between the single window's curtains. Not that Lamia minded, she could see perfectly well in the dark, and it was in that darkness that Lamia found her sister.
"Hello, Lamia,"
said Syndra, sitting perfectly on her bed, ready to receive her. It didn't hide the slight tremble in Syndra's eyes or the tear stains Lamia could see on her sister's cheek.
"Syndra,"
said Lamia, her voice coming out as rather curt. The changeling queen groaned inwardly and cleared her throat with a cough.
"May I sit with you?"
asked Lamia, softening her voice. Syndra relaxed and nodded. With some difficulty, Lamia limped her way to the bed. Syndra quickly rose to her feet, unable to tear her eyes off of her sister's missing leg. But Lamia shook her head to stop her sister from helping her. However, when she made it, Lamia threw herself somewhat ungraciously into the soft mattress.
"Hopefully the beds in the hive are this soft,"
snorted Lamia, as she felt the soft down and springs that made up the mattress.
"I asked for a harder bed, but the princess has decided otherwise,"
said Syndra. Her eyes were focused on the burnt scars and eye patch over her sister's left eye. She couldn't help it. No matter how much she tried to ignore it and focus on her sister as a whole, her eyes kept being drawn to what was absent. It only deepened her feelings of guilt.
It appears they really care about you,"
said Lamia in an almost trivial manner, but without letting a hint of emotion leave her voice.
"Yes."
Syndra swallowed once and met her sister's narrowed eye.
"Lamia, what do you want to know?"
At her sister's question, Lamia forced her lips into a thin line.
"Why did you betray our hive? No excuses. I want a detailed explanation on what you thought our hive could have possibly gained if you gave the princesses our infiltration strategies,"
said Lamia. Syndra shuffled back slightly as her elder sister loomed over her, her single eye hard and her jaw locked in place. Her sister wasn't mad, not just yet, but Syndra had never seen Lamia so stern, so near to true anger. She always remembered her as the kind, caring older sibling who took time to play with her and show her around the hive. Not once had Syndra ever seen her sister in such a light, so damaged and so serious.
I'll do my best."
Syndra took a deep breath and cringed.
"At the time, I did what seemed like the right thing to do, as I made it based on what information I had. But I made some choices out of fear as I found out more about the hive situation, and I realized that those choices were mistakes."
Lamia stiffened. At least Syndra was going to get to the point and admit that she was partly wrong, but there was still a question.
"All right, but what led you to make that mistake?"
asked Lamia bluntly.
"After my banishment, I roamed across the desert and into Equestria. I survived by doing odd jobs and feeding off of ponies when I could. For most of my exile, I was a castle maid in Kaedralot,"
said Syndra, and she sighed.
"That was the longest time I had ever been around ponies, ever. I learned so much about them, their good traits, their bad traits, and even all the weird quirks that they have as a species. I even made some friends in the guard and among the castle staff. They taught me that ponies aren't bad, they're just kind of like us in a way. Protective, loyal, and most of them are quite honorable,"
said Syndra.
"Did they happen to be any of the guards standing outside of your door?"
asked Lamia curiously. Not surprising, her sister winced at the question.
Yes. I dated Corporal Arrow for a short while, and Sergeant Bombard was one of the guards for Celestia's room, so I talked with him often. I have to admit, I'm rather surprised that they weren't angry,"
said Syndra, blushing slightly before coughing into her hoof.
"The point is, Lamia, during my exile, I came to a realization. Ponies are easily frightened, but the more they understand, the closer they are to an unknown, the less frightened they become."
Syndra suddenly paused and gritted her teeth.
"Then, Kaedralot was attacked."
Lamia flinched. The sheer anguish in Syndra's expression as she shut her eyes was heartrending. She didn't want to put her sister through this recollection, but Lamia needed to know. Their family couldn't continue like this anymore.
"After the Hive's failed invasion, the pony guards discovered me, threw me into a prison, and then into an interrogation room facing Princess Luna and Celestia. I thought I was gonna die. They were saying that Mother had nearly killed Celestia after all. So I tried to appeal to the pony's better nature by telling a partial truth, that I left my hive and didn't take part in the invasion. Except it didn't work. Celestia realized almost immediately that there had to have been a reason why I was without a hive. I had admitted to her that I had been exiled, but she somehow deduced that I was Queen Chrysalis's daughter."
Lamia's eye widened in horror as she raised her only leg to cover her mouth. Syndra closed her own eyes for a moment as if recovering from her confession.
"You shouldn't have told them that you were exiled. Most changelings aren't exiled after all," But how did she find that out? You look... well, you have our mother's eye shape and color, but you aren't a queen!
Exclaimed Delamia.
I don't know, but something strange happened after that.
Syndra opened her eyes to look into her sister's. Despite the shaky fear in her voice, the young changeling spoke in a slow, clear manner.
When Celestia found out, she was angry, furious even. I honestly thought that I was going to be roasted alive. Except...
Lamia cocked an eyebrow.
What? She let her anger go. She allowed me to escape the interrogation area and asked for me to meet her later in her chambers.
Said Syndra. Jaw agape, Lamia stared at her sister.
But why? I don't know why. I was just grateful that she didn't decide to incinerate me. I ran away. I wanted to put as much distance from Canterlot as possible.
Said Syndra. The younger changeling crossed her hooves and averted her gaze.
But then I realized I couldn't run. So, I went to her chambers.
Said Syndra in a resigned tone. Everything's a gamble at this rate. The hopes of maybe talking will eventually help them out in some way, but then again, probably not. Man, it is such a guessing game. Anywho, let's get on to our very sweet donators. Top donators are 630, Peter Coldhard, J10 Man, Darkside, Only One Thing, and Twinkie. Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Pastel Skies, Austin Rollins, CrazyGlitter557, Stu Hex, Sword Brother and Mordred, Omicron Library, Will, Chris, Dospo, Delta Omega, Jack Hatch, RuneSlife9852, Mad Men's Den, Leslie Perkett, Drake Love Dragon, Hunter Norman, Stephen Bingham, Linegut12, Sorcerer Constantine, Hudzaza, Convair, many more fantastic people. Thank you all so much for watching this video and live life to the fullest.